Good morning, guys. OH. Yeah. Pray for the Buckeyes. We got a big game against Clemson this Saturday. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'll tell you what, there's something a little bigger before that game, and that is Christmas, right? So Christmas is actually just a few days away, and everyone's getting into the Christmas spirit. We got the Christmas flowers. You know, everywhere you go, the halls are decked, what have you, you know. But there's something strangely stressful about Christmas, it seems like. For me, at least, it's shopping, finding gifts for people, right? Every year, I want to get just the best gifts for everybody, my friends, my family. But every single year, I never know what to get anybody. My parents are especially tough to shop for. They're like an enigma to me because I feel like I'm at that age where I actually have to go out and find something that aligns with their interests, right? It's like your four-year-old son brings you home a little, like, craft popsicle stick figure, right? Like Christmas tree ornaments. Oh, it's cute, adorable. You keep that forever. If your 21-year-old son does it, it's not, you know, not as cute. I'm thinking it's more lazy, right? It really stresses me out, you know, finding gifts for everybody. But I know it's not just me, and I know it's not just gifts. A lot of us travel around the holidays. Either you're going to family or family's coming to you, right? That's pretty stressful. You guys know that one family member? Yeah, that one. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't know who I'm talking about, then listen out for a minute. We're just going to talk about you for a second. Essentially, this is one of the most stressful times of year for everyone, it seems like. But Christmas is supposed to be joyful, right? But a lot of us aren't really joyful around Christmas. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, if you couldn't already tell. And if we're going to talk about joy, then we need to define it, right? So I remember when I was in youth group, I was in eighth grade, and someone gave a message, and they talked about joy as it related to happiness, right? They gave the analogy, some of you may have heard it before, where like, happiness is like a roller coaster and joy is like a smooth drive on the freeway. And their reasoning behind that was that happiness is dependent upon our circumstances. So things in our life happen that will affect our happiness, but that joy should remain constant throughout. And that's correct, but it doesn't tell us exactly what joy is, right? So I thought a little comparison might be a little helpful. So we're going to look at two pop icons, right? So on one hand, we have the Grinch, great Christmas pop icon. And on the other hand, we have SpongeBob. Yeah, lives in a pineapple under the sea, right? So class, this is a little your assignment for the day. Who here, by show of hands, thinks the Grinch is joyful? Yeah, correct. And who here thinks it's SpongeBob? Yeah, but let me ask you this. Have you ever met anyone who acts like SpongeBob? Probably not. If you have, you won't catch me anywhere near them because SpongeBob is annoying. There's something about him it's hyperactive, it's fake, you know what I mean? It's not real joy. So that leads me to ask, what is this genuine joy? Well, what the Bible says is that joy is when you have strength from God to tackle everything in front of you. It means you know you're blessed in everything, and no matter what the circumstances are, that God's going to show up in your life. It means you're less stressed because you can rest in the assurance of God's love, right? That's what the Bible says. So joy, what we're talking about today, it doesn't come from what you have. Comes from what can't be taken from you. Write that down. It's a good little... They can take your job from you, but they can't take God's purpose from your life. They can take a relationship from you, but they cannot take God's love from you and your relationship with Jesus, right? They can take your health, but they cannot take your grace. They can even take your life, but they cannot take God's promise of eternal life from you. Yeah. It's really good. And that's why the Bible can say what it says in Thessalonians 5:16. always be joyful. It's just three words. You have no excuses for not memorizing this verse or writing it down. Three words. Some translations even say, rejoice always. That's two. It's even easier. But this verse makes me think, man, always be joyful? Always? Are you sure? Where can I find that kind of joy? The truth is, if you're waiting for joy to just happen to you, if you're waiting for some perfect circumstance to align in your life to make you joyful, it's not going to happen. And even if you set your whole day up to be like, oh, this is going to be my perfect day, it doesn't last too long, because that's not lasting joy. So where can we find this lasting joy that lasts through the brokenness of this world, the messed up parts of this world? Well, I'll tell you, the Christmas story answers this. That's the message of Christmas, actually, is joy. So if we look at the first stories of the first Christmas, then we can find out. So let's start with the shepherds. You know, like mall maps, or maybe maps at like amusement parks, the you are here, and then there's like the whole map, but they got the big dot. Very helpful, you know. A lot of us seem to picture joy like that. Like, here I am, right here, and then here's joy way over here. How do I get from here to joy? Unfortunately, that's not how joy works. Joy has to be right where you are, has to be right on the dot. Does that make sense? So check this out. The shepherds discovered that joy was right where they were in Luke 2:8-9. So that night there were shepherds staying in the fields, nearby guarding the flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. That's pretty cool. God just shows up in their daily lives, right where they're at. So picture this. You're routinely going out, living your life, just every day, same old, the monotony of it all. And you want God to come into your life and bring you joy, but you think, oh, I just got to get away from all this stuff. But the truth is, you don't have to leave your job to find joy. You don't have to leave your family to find joy. You don't have to go on vacation to find joy. In fact, when you go on vacation, you are taking with you the one thing that's going to keep you anxious and keep you from joy, and that is yourself. That is the one thing that is going to keep you from finding joy, because we worry about stuff. We're the ones that are stressed. We're the ones that are anxious. We're blocking ourselves off from what God wants to give us. And the truth is, a lot of those worries and concerns that we carry around with us every day are very valid. You can receive a bad phone call, a bad diagnosis. People get laid off. It's tough. It's a hard world out there. But the truth is, just as suddenly as everything can go wrong, everything can go right. And we can look at the world with hope. We can see that at any moment, God can just crash in and change things for the better. There's joy in that. I can look and see the circumstances and say, God is here. God is with me. God is going to show up in my life, right? The shepherds also teach us that joy is sent, right? So Luke 2:10-12, they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Okay, so joy is here. How do I find it? You see, the thing is, joy is not created from within. It is sent from above. You know, the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Makes me think of the difference between good news and great joy. So I thought of this example. Let's say Chip calls me up one day. Nathan, you're not going to believe this. I just won $1 million. I'm like, man, that's awesome. Good for you, Chip. That's good news. Get your tithe in, you know. It's good news, right? Now, if I get a phone call from someone else and it says, Nathan, you just won $1 million, great joy, right? That's some great joy right there. Do you know what the difference is? It's that one is personal, right? So John 3:16 says, like, for God so loved the world that he sent his only one begotten son. It's kind of like a staple of Christianity, that verse. And so we often think that, oh, Jesus is sent for the whole world. Like, yes, that's true. But when you realize that the story of Christmas is that Jesus was sent for you personally, Pastor Dave, and you personally, Chip, you, Paul and Katie, Jesus was sent for you. He looks at you guys and he's saying, I love you. I have a purpose for you guys and a plan for your life. You know, when you realize that Jesus is here for you personally, that's when the good news, the gospel, becomes great joy. It's because it's personal. Another story from the first Christmas is the wise men. And what they teach us is that joy is a journey. So the three wise men, if you're familiar with the nativity scenes you see around, it's actually quite misleading. You see, they went on a journey because their prophecies showed that the Messiah was born, the King of Kings. And they were like, oh, we shall journey from the east to find him. And a lot of the nativity scenes, you'll see like baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and like an angel, a couple cows or something, a lamb. And then you have like the three wise men. One's always kneeling. You got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the thing is, the wise men actually did not reach Jesus until he was about 2 years old. It was a long journey for them. And the Bible says that. So for them, this joy that they were seeking, it was not instantaneous. It was actually a very long process and a long journey. When we try to find instant joy, we often get ourselves hurt because we look in the wrong places. Maybe it's like the new kick, that new drug, that new relationship, trying all these new things to find joy. We all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts, something I like to say to the youth. And people shovel all sorts of things that aren't God in that hole, hoping to fill it up and hoping to reach satisfaction, when in reality, there's only one thing that can fill that hole, right? So there I am chasing the new kick, the new drug, the new relationship. Next thing I know, I'm worse off than I was before because I wasn't chasing joy. I was chasing an adrenaline rush, and they serve two different purposes. Think about that one. Write that down. You know, you can build your whole life on plans, right? Be it a plan of education or a career, a marriage, it may be, a family, whatever. It doesn't really matter what it is, but that thing, whatever it is, it's not going to bring you joy. And it's kind of a hard pill to swallow, because I'm guilty of this myself. I'm studying at The Ohio State University, right? I'm in my third year studying architecture, and it's a long process studying for architecture. I have 4 years of undergrad, and then 2 years of a graduate program, and then I have to study under a licensed architect for about two more years just so I can sit and take six different exams, which all have like very low passing rates, right? It's like a 10-year process when it's all said and done. And I like to meticulously plan out, like, I'm going to do this and then go here and then do this and this and this, and this is where I'm going to do it and how I'm going to do it. But then Jesus crashes into my life and he's like, Nathan, chill out, man. I love you. I have a plan for you. I want you to have a great career. I want you to have a great wife and a great family. But the thing is, those things are not going to bring you joy, because that's not where joy comes from. Joy comes from a relationship with Jesus as the only source. So it's really funny because you can have, I've heard excuses. You can have a really crappy family and a really rotten career, and you can still have joy, because that's not where joy comes from. It's really crazy how that works, huh? When there's one source, nothing else matters. It can all be variables. That is the constant, having a relationship with Jesus. That's where joy is found. So I don't know what exactly it is you're hanging on to. It could be anything, really. Be it, oh, I need more money, or if I just had a little more health, if I was just a little stronger. That's not going to give you joy. You just have to buckle in and trust God. Amen. Amen. You know, there's one final lesson we do learn, though, and it is about trust. And that's from Mary. So check this out. This is how the Christmas story actually starts. Luke 1:29-30. It says, confused, disturbed, and afraid, Luke 1:29-30. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Look at some of the verbiage there, some of the words that are used. Confused, disturbed, and afraid. I'm going to level with you guys. That sounds like a semester of college. So here you have this teenage girl who has just been told she's going to have a virgin birth to the Son of God. I can just picture her response, right? How am I going to do this, God? Joseph isn't going to be too happy with me, God. How am I going to explain this one, God? But then a few verses later, she's joyful. If you go and actually look, she's actually singing a song. It's quite something. But there was this momentous shift in her attitude towards the entire situation. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. She decided to trust God instead of trusting herself. That's what this lesson is that joy is often a very scary choice, because we cannot lean on our own understanding. We have to let go of that and trust the Father with what's going on, whatever it be in our lives, right? Joy is found in trusting in God instead of ourselves. So, in closing, what all this means is actually great news. It's that all of us can experience joy right here, right now. Wherever you are, physically, emotionally, spiritually, God can meet you where you're at. He wants to. Jesus says later in Matthew, he's talking to the disciples right before he's about to be crucified, the night before he's crucified, actually, and he says, I want you to have the fullest possible joy. That's not just for the disciples. That's what he's working to do in my life, in your life, all of our lives. The fullest possible joy. So my question is, okay, Jesus wants to bring this joy into my life. How can I work with him to make that happen? How can I cooperate? And the answer is simple. I can do what the people and the stories of the first Christmas taught us. I can stop chasing after what God has already sent, right? I can take the first step of the journey knowing that I'm in God's hands and that he's with me wherever I go. I can let go of whatever it is I'm clinging to that I think is going to bring me joy when it's not. I can make the very, very difficult choice of trusting God with things. And I don't mean, okay, you can have that part of my life, but I'm going to hang on to this little bit, all of it. You have to let go of all of it and give it all to God. I find myself being like, okay, you can have that and that and that, but this and this, I'm going to keep watch over myself. You can't do that. It's all or nothing, because that's when the crazy moves of God can happen. And you know, the truth is, you could choose to be a discouraged person all your life, because there's a lot to be discouraged about. You can be bitter, angry, and cynical, because it's a bitter, angry, and cynical world. But the story of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, if you will, is that you get to choose. You can choose to be joyful. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful. He didn't just say that in passing. Paul was writing that book. There's a lot to be joyful about. You don't have to search it out. It's right where you are. The good news of God, his plan for your life, just God's grace and the goodness of God is that you get to choose to be a joyful person, regardless of the circumstances. So, amen. That being said, we can close in prayer. So, Father, I'll come to you right now in your Son's name, and I just pray for those of us who need a little joy this Christmas. I pray that you show up, that you meet us where we're at, and that you remind us of what 1 Thessalonians says. Always be joyful. Thank you for sending your Son, and may we make this Christmas about what it's truly about. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nathan. Good word. Woo! Woo! Man, I'm kind of in a ministry mood right now, so spare with me for a couple minutes here if you can, please. But yeah, we're moving into some ministry time here, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to come crashing into some lives right now. So, Nathan, you have?
Yeah, you know, as we were worshiping, I just felt like God was telling me that there's people here who are craving joy so badly, but they're clinging to things and looking in all the wrong places. And so I think the Holy Spirit is just wanting to kind of resolve that for some people today, you know. So
I can kind of second that. As Nathan was preaching, I had this picture in my head, and it was when he talked about the God-shaped hole that we all have. Some of you might not be familiar with that phrase, but sometimes we fill everything that we're wanting and needing in life that we think is going to bring us joy with stuff that just compounds the issues that we're dealing with. And the picture that I had was a wooden baking spoon. And God said, if you will let me just scrape all of that out and invite me in, I can bring the joy that you need. Beyond all circumstances that you'll face, Jesus can help you through everything. So I just want to, does that pertain to anybody here? Does anybody feel like, man, I need to clean some things out and let Jesus in so he can bring me that grounded joy? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Just, I know this takes courage to raise your hands, but I believe it's like a public declaration. What you're saying is, I no longer want these things to rule my life, but I want Jesus to take control.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Anybody else want some prayer for that?
In the back.
In the back over there. Anybody else? Anybody over here? Yep. All right. Well, we'll some hands over here. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, let's pray for that right now. And then I got a couple other things. So, Jesus, I just thank you for those hands that were raised. I thank you for the courage that it took. And I ask, Lord God, that you would come crashing into their lives right now. Jesus, that this would be a Christmas season unlike no other, that normally that one family member, that one stressful moment, that one whatever always happens every year happens, but this time you're grounded in the joy of Jesus, and I bless that in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so there's one more little hand-raising thing I want to do, but I wouldn't feel right if I didn't offer the greatest gift to mankind. And so if you're here this morning and maybe you're listening to Nathan like, oh, man, I need that joy. I need something. that can only be found in Jesus.
That's right.
Now, I have the best, beautiful wife in the world. I have great kids. I have a roof over my head, the best job in the world. I'm surrounded by the best people I see on a daily basis. But none of it would amount to anything if it wasn't for Jesus.
Yeah.
And so if you're here today and you sense, you know what, I want some of that. It's Jesus that you're wanting. And I just want to ask you to show me where you're at. Just raise your hand, show me where you're at. And I believe that Jesus wants to show up in your life. Make this the best Christmas that you've ever had. The joy of a Savior in your life. So if I'm speaking to anybody here, can I see where you're at? Is anybody here looking for that? Amen. All right. Keep your hand raised just for a little bit there. Amen. Anybody else? We got a hand over here? How about over here? Anybody else? Amen. Thank you. Anybody else want to say yes to Jesus? Lord, I need that joy. Today is your day. In America, this is like the most happiest time of year, but yet the most stressful, right? But listen, Jesus can relieve that stress. He can bring grounded joy. Anybody else? Anybody else want to open themselves up to a Savior, to their Creator? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I thank you for the hand in the back and sister right here in the front. So what we're going to do here is the church will join me in prayer. And just thank you. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
I thank you for catching my attention today.
I thank you for catching my attention today.
And I want to invite you into my life.
And I want to invite you into my life.
Help me to find that grounded joy.
Help me to find that grounded joy.
And to become the person that you created me to be.
And to become the person that you created me to be.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Woo. Amen. Well, thank you. I know that takes courage to raise your hand, and I just want to bless that and just let you ladies know that I'll be praying for you this week. And if you have any questions or anything, we have some people back at the Next Step table that can help you with some answers.